There are so many things as humans that we don't really understand. There are mystic, magical, fated things, as well as otherworldly realms that we just can't comprehend unless it's through the journey of our own soul. I'm your host, Steffi, aka The Spirit Sis. I'm a psychic medium, astrologer, and intuition teacher, and I'm here to take you on an exploration of all things spiritual. I'm going to connect to source, give you divine downloads, and I want to keep you in the spirit loop. So here is the psychic scoop. It's eclipse season. Welcome back to Psychic Scoop. I am your host, Steffi, aka Spirit Sis, professional astrologer, intuition teacher, and evidential psychic medium, here to usher you through your spiritual awakening, your spiritual journey. Let's dive right in. We have no time to waste. I'm sure you've been feeling the energy. It's been piping hot, sizzling, and we are preparing for our first set of eclipses in 2024, and I have all of the info for you. I'm going to be covering a lot today and as much as possible and as clear as possible without any extra fluff. So if you want, you can grab a pen and paper. I also love podcasts because it's literally stamped in time. You can always re-listen or absorb on the first run, and then on the second run, write down notes as it's applicable to you and your chart. And also too, there is going to be a little bit more, not necessarily advanced, but I would say like intermediate astrology knowledge here. So I'm going to be referring to a little bit of the upcoming astrology in, you know, most of April, actually. I did cover a little bit already in the 2024 horoscope. So if you're so confused and need a little refresher, you can always go back and listen to that episode as well, which I released at the beginning of the year. But I always recommend for horoscopes or anything where I'm going to be talking about either what house the eclipse is transiting in or your rising sign, always having your chart pulled up and ready to go, just if you want to be listening along. Or again, you can just listen once and take it all in and then come back to it again when you want more specific things, that how it will affect you, you know? And also, it's not just you, it's your friends are going through it, the collective is going through it. Family members, coworkers, besties, lovers, everyone you know is going through it. So we're all in this together. And that's what makes these eclipses really fun, because it's a collective change. And yes, even though it will be impacting your chart individually, it's impacting us all in different ways and moving the collective conscious forward. Every single eclipse does. And also too, I wanted to just throw this out here, and this was something that Spirit really wanted me to offer, was a discount for all of my online courses during the eclipse portal. And I'm going to tell you what to do and what not to do during the eclipse portal. But one thing to do is, it's great to always review information and to take courses or classes or to do self-care and prioritize any type of self-work if you wanted to. So anyway, I'm going to leave description in the description box down below. But for all of my online courses, that's all astrology courses plus my intuition course, I'm going to be offering a 35% discount. That's pretty big. I don't usually do that much, but I felt the need to. And you need to use the promo code PORTAL at checkout. And again, I'll have all of that information in the notes, and I'll also repeat it at the end of this episode. Okay, let's move in. All right, let's talk about the first eclipse that's happening in March. So we have a lunar eclipse, March 25th, 2024. It's happening around 3 a.m., and that's in 5 degrees Libra. Then we are going to have a total solar eclipse happening April 8th, 2024, and that's at 2:21 p.m. That's 19 degrees Aries. And this is, I'm obviously going to talk about these in more detail. I'm just kind of giving you the hot spots first. Then we have something that I already discussed in the 2024 horoscope ahead, but we have Mars and Saturn conjunction happening on April 10th. And also, we'll all be able to feel this the days leading up and the days following, because it's directly in conjunction on April 10th, but it's going to be in like a wide conjunction the days leading up and obviously the days following as Mars continues to move on. Also, Mercury retrograde, if we didn't have enough going on, right? That will go retrograde officially April 2nd, but by the time this podcast has aired, we are already in shadow. And again, if you want more information on that, I have a Mercury retrograde podcast, an entire thing dedicated to what to do with retrogrades, what the shadow period means, all of that. And so that is kind of what's happening in April. It's spicy. It's a lot of energy. I'm not going to lie. But it's really a sink or swim because, you know, on top of all of this, we're moving into the spring equinox. It's the astrological new year. I absolutely love that the first eclipse of the year happens just days after the equinox. So we're kind of just starting fresh. This is always when I feel collectively we all get a little pep in our step. We feel a little more ambitious in Aries season. I feel like initiatives take place. And the first couple months, like January, February, March, they always feel a little slower, at least to me. They feel a little more introspective, especially in Pisces season the past like 30 days. We've really kind of been reflection. And there's definitely been some spirit consciousness or maybe even some rest and restore happening. So when Aries season happens, it's the beginning of the astrological new year and that spring equinox, it's like a bat out of hell. There's a definite energetic shift. I feel that every year. I know all my clients feel it every year or the collective. I get a lot of DMs about it. Like, wow, it feels different. And I have to say that does track. So let's briefly talk about what all of those shifts mean. So we already know what retrograde means. I kind of discussed the Mars-Saturn conjunction, like I said, already in the horoscope, but it's happening in Pisces. And Pisces is obviously a sign of compassion and spirituality and this consciousness or spirit consciousness. So this transit might bring attention to global crises or humanitarian efforts, encouraging the society to confront issues related to those things, related to compassion, empathy, or care for human beings or marginalized human beings. So with the conjunction of Mars, you know, Mars represents conflict and aggression and passion. And Saturn represents structure and authority and discipline. So when Mars and Saturn conjunct, right, they're in the same degree in the same sign. This could potentially, and I'm just saying potentially, lead to increased instability of conflicts. And it could be around a lot of different things because Saturn is authority. And since it's all in Pisces, it could be linked to environmental things. It could be awareness of global issues, like maybe water pollution, climate change, ecological conservation efforts, or it could be global scale things with water related incidents. I have heard astrologers be like, oh, it could be like hurricanes and floods and rivers and things like that. Like, we don't know. And I don't want to fearmonger that because honestly, it's always like a crapshoot. And there's always a high and a low vibration of every single conjunction or every single sign. You know, the high vibration of Mars is leadership and compassion and this like take charge energy. And Saturn, the high vibration, is like this wisdom and these lessons and really kind of looking at things with this authoritative but not domineering stance. So there can be a high vibration of things and issues getting solved. But with the state of the world, and I have to say, even though, yes, they're conjunct in Pisces, this is all happening during Aries season, where there is a lot of conflicts already going on in the world. So this is just something to be mindful of. When Mars and Saturn conjunct in Aquarius, and I mentioned this before already, that's when the global pandemic was happening. And, you know, there were things that, you know, in history happened during this transit, but it is more of a global transit. Or you might look at where Pisces is in your chart and see where Mars and Saturn is going to impact you specifically. But let's just move on with the eclipses. We got to chat about that because that is like very top of mind. So during eclipse season, remember this happens twice a year and the eclipses come in a pair of two. And the eclipses, there's both a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse, and they're powerful events that often act as catalysts for change, and it could trigger events or transformations, but it unfolds over a long extended period. Eclipses are in 18-month cycles, and they go from 6 months to another 6 months to another 6 months to another 6 months, right? So it's kind of like it's this book that has a beginning and a middle and then a climax and then an end. And so we feel that collectively, but we feel that individually in our charts as well. And this energy sometimes, like especially between the two eclipses, between that 2 weeks in between when the eclipse right happens, the first one and the second one, I think that made sense to you. It can feel intense. It can feel unpredictable. And it's not necessarily like a retrograde energetically, like a retrograde, Mercury retrograde. It's like, oh man, like, dang it, this text message didn't go through, or I'm having trouble getting a hold of someone, or I'm on hold with an admin something and my credit card got declined or fraud, whatever. It's like those are annoyances. Eclipses are just very sensitive times, and the effects of the eclipse can felt strongly, potentially, because it's an influence that reverberates for many months, right? For the 6 month cycle. And so I always tell people to not like worry too much about the eclipses, right? You're going to feel the energy, but the eclipses work for you, not against you. And so with these eclipse seasons, obviously you can pay attention to significant shifts if they're undeniable, but also it holds this really powerful insights for personal growth and evolution. So that's a basic gift. And it also, you know, can illuminate themes that have been happening, how we've been operating beneath the surface because it's subconscious change. It can bring up these like hidden issues to light or an opportunity for deeper awareness. It's all about reaching your highest potential with anything with astrology is, or any type of awareness when it comes to transits and how it's impacting us. So what to do during eclipse portal? I asked Instagram, I polled you, and I was like, what are your questions? So I kind of wanted to answer some, you know, like FYI, most popular questions, because I get this a lot, and it doesn't matter how many eclipse forecasts I've done throughout the years. I feel like it's always good to get a little bit of a reminder. So one of the most important things that you can do is staying flexible and adaptable, because eclipse season is kind of working the ins and outs and it can flux. And when you're open-minded, and if there's unexpected changes or maybe even opportunities, I remember during an eclipse season that was happening in my 12th house a few years ago, I was so worried because 12th house is like mental health energy. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to be in shambles? And I remember it was the busiest time. I had so much financial opportunities that I had no idea I was going to get. And I remember feeling like, why did I stress over that? Like, it was the ending of a cycle and a beginning of a new one. So anyway, staying flexible and open. And if you have to travel during eclipse portal, which I'm actually going to be traveling, this is so funny. I planned my wedding for the day after the equinox on March 22nd. And I looked at all the, you know, I did everything. I looked at all of the transits. I knew we were going to have a little bit of retrograde shadow, but I was like, oh, we're going to do it before the eclipse, whatever. And then we ended up having to move our flights a little later. And long story short, I'm going to be like literally in the midst of travel during the eclipse portal, which I usually don't like to be. But again, if you have to travel, you just stay flexible with travel plans and be prepared to adapt. But also sometimes traveling during eclipses is really enlightening, and you can get like a little bit of restore and relaxation, and maybe things won't happen as fast to you because you're not in your home base and you'll be able to take a little bit of a break. So it's always good to account for delays or changes in schedule, or just have like a very loose itinerary. But again, practice self-care during eclipses. I kind of already touched on that like briefly, but it can be energetically demanding sometimes, or maybe emotionally, or maybe even might feel numb during it. But prioritize any of those activities that bring you joy, or even if it's slowing down, like meditation, yoga, journaling, spending time in nature, listen to your body, honor the need for rest and rejuvenation, and obviously be very mindful of taking in energies of other people or energy on the roads, you know, energy in general. People tend to be a little goofy around these times. So don't take anything personally if people are coming at you. And also, you can't, you know, take aggression out on other people too. It goes both ways. So you just be mindful of those energy shifts, because eclipses bring that heightened intensity. And just be mindful of your own energy that you're putting out, your own emotions, as well as places you visit. So you can always practice grounding techniques, which I highly recommend during eclipse portals, such as deep breathing, or I mean, energy work on yourself if you want. And any way you can feel balanced. I did mention doing like self-paced courses are really great. Shadow work is really great. Journaling is really great. Anything that you can do with your own time where you don't have to commit to yourself or to anyone else. Like, you are doing it when you feel like you're honoring yourself and your energy levels, right? So it is a really good time to reflect and introspect and to, you know, you can even reread old journal entries from past eclipses or revisit a course you already took and retake it. Or if you wanted to take a new hobby or a new class or course, if it is something where it's again, something that you can do on your own time, those are fantastic things for eclipse portals, because you're just staying focused on your own inward energy and you're putting also like time and commitment towards something that you love. And then after you're out of the eclipse portal, who knows what that investment will do for you or the time will do for you. It could open up new doors and be open to revelations, right? Like, pay attention to synchronicity, signs, intuitive message, or anything that comes up, because that could be valuable guidance for your path. And always stay, I already talked about staying grounded, but stay protected too. You know, like if you need to adorn your body with crystals or put yourself in a bubble of white light or whatever, imagine roots extending from your body and anchoring yourself. Do what you need to do to protect yourself or give yourself extra support if you feel like you need it. What not to do during an eclipse portal? And let me just say, first and foremost, this is just suggestions of guidance. Everything I'm saying is not meant to be limiting or taken as gospel. This is just based off of my own personal experiences and experiences of my clients and DMs I've received over the years. I've kind of compiled information. And as an astrologer, there are some things ethically that I always want to share. And so that's just, I'm just going to put that disclaimer on. Obviously, if anything feels limiting or restricting, or you're not buying into it and doesn't feel right in your own soul and your own authority, do not take the advice. That goes for anything, by the way. If a friend is telling you advice you don't like or doesn't feel resonant or whatever, it's not like criticism that's constructive. Always just say thanks, but no thanks. So anyway, what not to do from just personal perspective. Any like hasty decisions, this means like impulsive decisions or taking any drastic actions during eclipse season. And it's just that 2-week period and maybe a few days before and after eclipse season, but just consider your options, weigh the pros and cons carefully, you know, rushing into anything major, you might regret that in that 18-month cycle. So if it's something like that, obviously you have to make a decision like, oh, you got evicted or you lose your job or whatever happens. Remember, eclipses are working for you, not against you. So there is a reason why that's being shoved out of your life in such a dramatic way, and you will get back on your feet and life will unfold for you differently, and it's going to be a blessing. That's always what eclipses do. So also, like, forcing any change, eclipses will catalyze like change anyway and over time. So it's important not to force or change anything like just for the sake of it. You need to trust in divine timing and allow those changes to unfold naturally. Basically, you're just like sitting in water waiting, and you're just kind of waiting for which way the wind takes you, and you don't have to adjust the sail. You're kind of just going on the ride. Okay. So letting things unfold naturally and not trying to control outcomes. This is really important, because I'm an anxiety girly myself, and I tend to want to know the certainty of an outcome of something, especially if it's like continuing to drive me crazy and I'm future tripping and future thinking. And there are some things, obviously, like financial stability and what's going to happen next year or where, okay, I can't pay my rent. Like those things are very obviously important, and feeling unstable is so valid in that. But also just trying to force certainty for the fact that you want to take the edge off. Well, you're a human being, so you're gonna, it, those outcomes may lead to frustration or even more anxiety down the road. Also, goes without saying, but don't engage in any conflict, if you can avoid it. Eclipse energy can be intense, especially for the unaware. So making conflicts, not like you would want to, but they might arise or emotions might arise, and you don't want to get drawn into any unnecessary drama or power struggles, especially since it's going to be in Aries. We'll talk about that, but it's just like practicing patience and diplomacy and empathy for yourself. Also, not a good time to like launch any new projects. You can definitely work on projects on the sidelines, and maybe you review a project, or maybe you're rewriting or restructuring or whatever it is, your business or something, a hobby or something you're passionate about. And that's an ideal time to review it, but you don't have to necessarily start something brand new. Instead, just focus on completing the other existing tasks and like tying up loose ends. So this is definitely not the time to hard launch anything at all. And this is a big one, and I know a lot of other astrologers believe me have the same opinion. Performing any rituals or ceremonies during the eclipses. This is like a big no-no as far as astrologers. I mean, any professional astrologer you follow is going to say the same thing. Traditional wisdom just kind of advises against performing rituals just because it is such a energetic question mark. And if you're trying to like manifest on a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse, and there's intention setting and there's heightened energies, it just can interfere with the intended outcomes that the eclipses are already working on for you. Think of it as literally like you've placed your order with the universe and you're just waiting on getting it. And let's say it's like a restaurant, right? It's like you ordered something you really want, but it takes a little bit of time. Like they're like, oh, it's a special recipe, and then we have to wood fire this and blah, 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 put this beautiful sauce on it. So instead of you like going back in the kitchen and being like, excuse me, where's my order? And like trying to talk to the chef and trying to like manhandle your situation with the universe. Instead, it sucks. Yeah, you have to wait there and you have to be starving and wait for whatever food you ordered. So that's kind of a good analogy for the eclipses. So if you're trying to like force and change and manifest during those times, during the eclipses, it just feels like desperate energy. It's like the universe is like, okay, you're clingy, you're desperate, you're thirsty, we don't want to grant you that. I don't know. That's just kind of, the eclipses are kind of like bitchy in that way. So I just want to encourage you, obviously, do your own thing. Like I said, if it's like a journal entry or you want to do like a little something, I don't even necessarily think you need to do something on the actual days because they are just so intense. Like you just kind of want to just like glide through and just notice and have awareness of what's going on. But again, if you wanted to like open a book and read something that really inspires you, or you're taking that class or that course, or you are doing a ritual practice that you always do, it's just like not something that is only for the eclipses, those are great. And I know a lot of you asked because the eclipses are actually the solar eclipse happens, the totality, you can see it in the United States. And I know some of you that are in North America DM'd me like, what do I do? And so I think it's normal to want to do like a ritual or ceremony, but it's actually the opposite. It's like counterintuitive of what you normally think. So I don't recommend that. And if any like any person is trying to be like, let's do a coven on the eclipse or do this or do that or be in other people's energy, it will just negate all of the beautiful blessings that are coming your way in the eclipse, at least in my opinion. I personally like to be a little more introverted during these times, and it's only 2 weeks. So just be mindful of where you're getting your information to. Make sure it is from a professional astrologer. Like if someone's trying to host like a ceremony or an eclipse, blah, 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 something, and they don't have the knowledge, I would just be wary of that. So let's talk about the lunar eclipse that happens on March 25th. So this is happening. Lunar eclipse, as you know, it happens when the Earth passes directly between the sun and the moon, and it casts a shadow on the moon. So that's happening around 3 a.m. I think I put Pacific Standard Times for these. I'd have to double check. But it's happening in 5 degrees Libra. So what happens with Libra? Well, Libra is relationships and decisions and balance, and it has a lot to do with these one-on-one collaborations and dynamics in your life. So if there is tension or imbalance, this period might just, you might just reassess those commitments, maybe reassess compatibility or cooperation. But this eclipse also, you know, it's Libra is ruled by Venus. It's personal aesthetics, it's artistry and the pursuits of artistry. And it's also environmental surroundings. Like Libra energy is just like Earth Mama energy. It's a lot about respecting the land and seeing beautiful landscapes and hugging trees. I always think about that when I think of like a Libra moon. I'm like, they love to hug trees. You know, there's also with Libra a sense of diplomacy and fairness and justice, and a lot of social things could be coming up between you or just in society in general. So it could be like work responsibilities or maybe even maintaining your physical and mental well-being when it comes to your boundaries. Libra's big on boundaries. Could even be personal friendships, like what's coming up for you? Who is showing up for you? Who hasn't been? And have you been reciprocal of that energy, right? So could be romantic relationships, could be collaborations, like business-wise, could be friendships, could be family dynamics. All of these kind of will spark some sort of, is this compatible? Is this working? And also there's a lot of activism and advocacy that comes with Libra placements, but this is a Libra eclipse. So maybe it'll foster some sort of spiritual growth when it comes to that and really seeking that inner peace, right? There's also shadow sides to Libra eclipse. Those are kind of all the positive things that might happen, but how about the shadow side of it? This is very cliche, but it does track. You know, there could be a lot of indecision because Libra is always going back and forth and back and forth with, am I doing the right thing? Or I can see both sides. There's also an avoidance of conflict, people-pleasing behaviors, boundaries I talked about. There can be a little bit of superficial things happening in relationships. Libra does tend to look at aesthetics, but also ignore the glaring red flags that can be happening. And I don't mean that to trigger any of my Libra placements, but this is just kind of a general sweeping motion of eclipse Libra energy. And again, that overemphasis on fairness, maybe it's like, I want to advocate for the right thing. And then it's like, but maybe you're overlooking your individual needs. And so maybe there's instability with commitment or compatibility, like I'd already said. So those shadows are essential for navigating the eclipse energies and just being mindful of that and promoting healthy relationships and healthy personal development. Now let's talk about the next eclipse that's happening 2 weeks after that. And since eclipses happen on axes, right, from polar opposites, because Libra's polar opposite and sister sign is Aries, we're going to experience the Aries energy. It's like the exact opposite of what Libra is. And so that is a total solar eclipse that's going to be happening April 8th, 2024, 2:21 p.m. I believe that's Pacific Standard Time, but look it up if you want to know exactly what time it is for you in your hometown. That's at 19 degrees Aries. And so the path of totality, this is from the NASA website, it's going to be visible in the northern hemisphere, and that's from Mexico, and then it enters the United States. It kind of has like a diagonal, kind of covers like the north, the like northeast, and then kind of goes down through like the southwest. But it's basically going through Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire and Maine. You can look at the NASA website if you want more information. It has actually a really cool map. Since this is obviously not visual, I'm just kind of telling you, but yeah, go look and see if you are going to be in the path of totality, which would be kind of cool. And let's talk about the solar eclipse in Aries. Okay, so Aries is the baby of the zodiac, which I talked about, has a lot of potent energy for new beginnings. And since it is the first sign, it is fresh starts, but it's also powerful movement for this fresh change. And not only personal change, but different things happening in your life. Like I said, this isn't the time to like launch a project, but there could be a spark of a seed of something that might just start to slowly develop during the eclipse, like during these eclipses. Or maybe it is like in the Libra eclipse, you're realizing what collaborations or partnerships aren't working out for you. And then all of a sudden a new business partnership comes in or whatever. It can go for anything. Anything. That's what's so difficult about eclipses. Like I can't tell you unless I'm looking directly at your birth chart and then we could have a discussion. Or you can look at it yourself and I teach you how to do that in all of my courses. So anyway, definite themes of self-assertion, independence, courage, self-discovery. You know, this is also like spontaneity that happens with Aries energy. It's the healthy boundaries where Libra is the boundaries of like people pleasing. Aries is like, I know my worth. So it's that opposite energy of like, no, I need to do what's right for me. And I need to have this surge of physical vitality and motivation and inspiring, right? It's like inspiring action and excitement and change and adventure. So solar eclipse energy in Aries definitely is that time to embrace authenticity and to take initiative in whatever you want in your life. And because it's nice, the solar eclipse in Aries kind of like end caps the eclipse season. I mean, you're definitely going to still like feel the energy afterwards, but it might be a time to like fearlessly go after your path and what you want. And of course there is shadow side again. Aries can be very impulsive energy, can be amplifying aggression, impatience. It can be conflicts, arguments, tough decision making. There also can be a tendency towards like riskier behavior or a lack of consideration or consequences, right? Sometimes Aries energy, because it is ruled by Mars, there can be a little bit of like, I don't want to say accidents, but like you can be accident prone or like clumsy, and that can happen when you're going too fast and not paying attention. So just obviously, you know, be mindful of that. Sometimes there's a lot of like frustration or irritability or difficulty. If you're feeling like you're not getting what you want, or you're feeling like there's road bumps, you can definitely just focus on the positive of like your passion and your motivation and what you want. So always approach these with knowing there's a high and a low vibration. But again, it's going to be different depending on what's going on in your own chart. So this is where I'm going to branch off and do some very brief individual horoscopes. So with this being said, this is what I was talking about. Having a little bit of astrology knowledge is awesome. And if you're totally lost, I have tons of free resources, right, through all my podcasts. But also, I am offering that 35% discount on the transit course, Birth Chart Biz, and my astrocartography course, or the bundle if you want all three. I'm giving 35% discount on everything on all my sites. So if you wanted to, I teach you how to look this up for yourself. But for the time's sake, you want to be looking at 5 degrees Libra in your chart and 19 degrees Aries. So I'm going to talk about your, and look at your rising sign too. So I'm going to talk about your rising sign, but with Placidus, the chart house system that I do. Even though, like, for example, you are a Cancer rising, and technically this, if it's 5 degrees Libra, technically should be going through your fourth house, right? There might be a chance if you're a Cancer rising in a later degree or an earlier degree, you could actually be going through a different house for your eclipse. So when you're listening, I want you to like look at what house the eclipse is transiting. So you want to look at 5 degrees Libra and 19 degrees Aries. And if you don't know how to do that, I teach you all how to do that in the courses, but I think you'll be able to figure it out. Look at the house it's transiting in. And so listen for your house and your rising sign, if that makes sense. Okay, beautiful. So I'm going to be talking about these in pairs. So if you are let's start with Libra rising, actually. Let's talk Libra rising, because the first is happening in Libra. So if you are a Libra rising, the eclipses are going to be going through your first and your seventh houses. So the first one is going through the first house, the second is going through the seventh house. Now, since Libra rules your first house, this can definitely be a shift on personal identity, but also it has to do with your identity within relationships. So balancing your own individual needs and your close connections, and also like what you want to do in the world. What makes you feel like you are an advocate? What makes you feel like you can harmonize or flow easy with the world? Expressing your authentic self and taking lead, asserting your needs when you need to, and then initiating conversations if you need to, or feeling natural and authentic in what you do, right? So this really is an opportune time to foster equality and balance, but also it really is about this personal growth. Like first house, I mean, this is going to be just such a big time. Like you, in my 2024 horoscope, I'm like, you are the star because the eclipses are happening in your house. And so there's a lot that can happen, a lot of change. First house eclipses can bring in like a variety of new changes. This could be, you know, changes to your home, to your life, to your job, additions in your life, new additions to family, or potentially new opportunities. And there's so much that can happen. But then also, because you have that seventh house access, people who are really showing up for you, or people who aren't, or what collaborations make you feel most comfortable, most sane, most seen, I would say. So with these eclipses, it's really about finding yourself and what you truly want to do, and then keeping those boundaries really level-headed with other people, and then also calling upon other people if you need support, and cultivating closer relationships, if that makes sense. And so this is a very exciting time for you as a Libra rising, and I definitely would expect a lot of changes over the next 18-month cycle. Next, let's do Scorpio rising. And the first eclipse is going to be hitting your 12th house, and the second eclipse in Aries is going to be hitting your 6th house. So with these transits, with eclipses in these houses, I would really focus on exploring your subconscious mind with spiritual practices, that introspection, that meditation, that analysis of spirit consciousness. You might even be having really vivid dreams. You might be gaining insight to hidden aspects of yourself. So you always want to prioritize that mental health piece. But with the sixth house happening on that other axis in Aries, there's definitely a priority for physical health, right? Because mental and physical well-being are so intertwined with these eclipses. And so establishing these healthy daily routines, balancing work responsibilities with rest and restore. So address those subconscious blocks or obstacles that might be hindering your process, like by doing shadow work, embracing that change, setting that boundary is obviously very important with Libra, I already discussed, but also surrendering to the wisdom of the universe. I mean, you are someone that has so many layers, like an onion. You're constantly unfolding to your highest good. And so this is the time to really take note of your daily routines and practices, and also your mental health, which is a fantastic transit for you. Sagittarius rising, and also 11th and 5th house placements. So the first eclipse is happening in Libra, 11th house and 5th. So what that means, it's really about nurturing your social connections and your creative expression. These eclipses are really fun and lighthearted. So it's really about embracing opportunities to cultivate meaningful connections, participating in group activities, or anything that aligns with your values and your aspirations, or feeling seen in a public way. Or being seen in a group, right? So you also want to explore your creative potential with this second Aries eclipse in the fifth house. And so what brings you joy and fulfillment and creative play? That could be art, music, other forms of self-expression. And so this is just really developing this greater authenticity and harmony in all of your social interactions when Libra is involved. And then allowing yourself to shine brightly in those creative endeavors, really, but also collaborating with like-minded individuals and advocating for, if you want to do social justice causes, or when when you're traveling, if you want to get closer to different principles, spiritual principles, you are sag rising, different religions or different philosophies, right? So embracing opportunities for personal growth within yourself and your own creativity, but also within your community or bigger communities, scalability wise. Capricorn rising, and this is also for the 10th and the 4th house placements for the eclipses, but these are big themes of career advancement and public image. Because Capricorn is making this square to the eclipses, this is a big year for Capricorn risings or Capricorn suns, and so there's a lot of professional changes coming in. And I hate to always, and this isn't just Cap, it's just ironic that it happens to be Capricorn, and I don't like to talk about Capricorn and career, even though it's a big part of who you are, is your purpose piece, right? So it's really developments on that axis, right? Like what you're coming to do, how you're here to do it. There might just be a lot of breakthroughs and significant developments. But also with that fourth house coming in with that second set of eclipses, this is really about the family sphere, right? Are there relocations going on? Are there balancing of aspirations between home and family life? Or career in family life, right? So it could just be also addressing unresolved family issues or familial connections, setting healthy boundaries. I always have to mention that whenever Libra's involved, and then creating a supportive environment for you. That's going to be a priority as you strive for harmony between that career or purpose piece and that family home life piece. Aquarius rising and 9th house and 3rd house placements for these eclipses. So this is themes of learning, communication, exploration. This is how they all intertwine. So 9th house represents higher education, higher philosophies, and traveling, astrology, metaphysical. And the 3rd house, it signifies communication or your community that you live with or live close by. It also can rule social media and siblings. So during these eclipses, you may feel compelled to explore new horizons. It could be through travel, could be through higher learning or philosophy, scaling, just different parts of the world you might be opening up to, but also your communication skills could be heightened in some way. We could be connecting with others online or having really beautiful conversations in person. It could be writing or developing projects or networking opportunities within your city, your town, or potentially even online. So it's a time to expand your intellectual and cultural horizons, embrace diversity, even diversity of thought, and share your ideas with others. And balancing that thirst for knowledge with the adventure of your daily responsibilities and connections with your immediate environment around you. Pisces rising or 8th house and 2nd house placements for these eclipses. So these are themes of big transformation, but also whenever 2nd house is involved, it has, or 2nd and 8th houses, these are financial houses or shared resources and personal values. So 8th house represents regeneration, death, rebirth. It could be shared finances, psychological depth. It's also intimacy, while 2nd house pertains to these personal resources, values, and self-worth. So these eclipses bring, it could bring significant changes to your financial situation, like maybe an inheritance, an investment, shared assets, but also it could just be like more financial literacy. And you might experience shifts in your intimate relationships when 8th house eclipses are involved. Could be going deeper into your emotional connections, addressing issues of trust, being really vulnerable with yourself or with your partners. And it's a time to reassess any financial priorities and any layers of your psyche. So shadow work's really beautiful during this time. If you're feeling like financially insecure, this is a desire to maybe like educate yourself and learn more, but personal growth. And also it's like comfortability. What makes you comfortable? What makes you stable? And getting really crystal clear on that. And that could be, yes, financial literacy, but also what makes you feel comfortable in life. 2nd house has a lot to do with your creature comforts. So finding that out. And then 8th house is like diving deep into your psychological mind, right? So these are the themes that can come up during this set of eclipses. Aries rising and seventh house and first house placements. So there's a lot of themes on relationships here. Also, because the second eclipse is happening in your first house, it's a lot to do with your own self-identity, like really what you categorize as authenticity, the symbolism of your goals, your personal endeavors, all of that. But also that first eclipse in that total opposition in Libra is about your relationships with others and how you can compromise and how there might be endings or beginnings of relationships or significant changes to dynamics of relationships. So you may experience a heightened focus on your own individuality, right, in your personal goals. And what it means to be assertive and have this self-discovery of independence. But also it's a time to really understand who you are, of course, like alone, but also who you are in relationships, asserting your needs and desires, cultivating a healthy balance between your own autonomy and also the giving and receiving of connection with others. So it's really about balancing that with desires and cooperation. And it's really essential for both of those to live in harmony whenever Libra is involved, harmony. And that's essential for you to navigate this transformation that you're going to be going through big time in the next, I would say 18 months, or started back in September, but you know, the 18 month eclipse cycle in these signs in your house. Taurus rising and sixth house and 12th house placements for the eclipses. There's definitely a theme of work, health, and then there's also themes of spirituality and subconscious patterns, and these are all intertwining. The sixth house pertains to daily routines and work and health environment, being of service, while the 12th house represents, you know, spiritual consciousness, introspection, hidden matters, and subconscious patterns. So it's really that balance between the two, work and life balance for sure, health habits, a definite different approach to how you handle self-care. And you may also find yourself more drawn to being spiritual or intuitive, or maybe practices that are a little different, taking the time to meditate, or maybe you want to seek a deeper meaning of connection to your inner world or your inner subconscious, or feeling like your intuition is heightened here. And then you want to pay attention to any of those patterns or even limitations that come up, because 12th house placements, especially that second eclipse there, it's really affecting your well-being and your productivity. So it's always good to consider alternate healing. But that sixth house, you know, it's really about that self-awareness of your day-to-day routines, how you are taking time for yourself, how you're showing up for yourself every day, and balancing that need for structure and efficiency with also your spiritual fulfillment during this eclipse season. Gemini rising and fifth house and 11th house eclipse placements. So there's definite themes going on of creativity and self-expression and social connections and personal aspirations. Those are all intertwining here. Now, the fifth house represents creativity, romance, children, hobbies, self-expression, right? While 11th house represents like friendships, deep friendships, social networks, long-term goals, and like big meetings of groups of people. So these eclipses really inspire you to be a little more creative and maybe explore new hobbies or express yourself more authentically. Again, it is that fifth house placement. So if you're thinking about having kids during this 18-month cycle, or you're wanting to create more of this childlike, carefree spirit, it doesn't necessarily have to mean like quote unquote children, even though it definitely can for Gemini risings. It's really about this carefree light spirit about you. And also that social piece is really important, like forming these friendships and in when you're being your authentic, true, creative self, how you can deepen those existing connections you have with like-minded people who share your passions and your aspirations and see you for who you truly are. It's really about that recognition, right? So you're embracing your individuality, but you're also following your passions and you're collaborating with others in this big way. So balancing your need for both of those is going to be really important. I definitely see social peace, the connection and community involvement being essential here. And again, this all started kind of September, October with the first set of eclipses. And this is like the 18-month cycle that will continue on. And definitely a little bit of a lighter, airier placement, which we love. Cancer rising or fourth house and 10th house eclipse placements. So because you are a cardinal sign, you are definitely getting impacted in a huge way during this eclipse cycle, the 18-month cycle that started in October. So there's definite themes of home, nesting, family, or family dynamics coming up, mixed with, intertwined with, right, that axis, that polarity. There's a public image, career piece, passion piece going on. So fourth house represents home, family roots, nurturing. And then that 10th house is like how you live out in the world. It could symbolize your career, your public reputation, your achievements, your purpose in this lifetime. So the eclipses are going to bring in huge, significant changes and revelations in both of those areas. So it could potentially mean moving. It could potentially mean healing family dynamics that are resurfacing. It could be starting a new family. And again, remember, this is 18-month cycle. So this kind of started in October and it's going to continue for 18 months. So this is kind of a continuation of what you might have already felt. And there might just be this nesting, this getting more comfortable at home, like your environment changing or wanting to change something about that, but also simultaneously experiencing this career achievements and your personal and professional life, reassessing your priorities there, making sure everything is supportive at home, but also supportive in the world. And what nurtures both of those? What nurtures both of your ambitions? As a Cancer rising, you can't deny that home is a huge part of who you are. Feminine connection and intuition is very important for Cancer risings. And it doesn't have to be, I'm meaning feminine energy. It's like this receptive, this calming, this nurturing, right? So with these eclipses, this is really coming in, this emotional well-being piece, as well as balancing your need for stability and security out in the workforce and the success and recognition that comes with that. That's really crucial. And that's going to be a really big transformational piece in this eclipse cycle. Leo rising and third house and ninth house eclipse placements. So themes on communication, learning, travel, potentially personal beliefs may all intersect here. The third house represents communication, the city you live in. It could be short trips. It could be learning. It could be social media engagement. And the ninth house symbolizes higher learning, higher philosophy, travel, spiritual expansion. So with these set of eclipses, it's really about this embarking on this journey of intellectual and spiritual discovery, of course, but also there could just be like a need or a want to travel or to learn a new spiritual principle or scale your life in a bigger way. And this pursuit of wanting to understand something in a deeper way. And then also with the city you live in, there could even be some revelations there. Do you like the city you live in, the community you live in? Are you wanting to change something? Are you wanting to connect deeper? Are you wanting to engage in important conversations? Are you writing? Are you wanting to network? Are you wanting to broaden your horizons? Or are you feeling the need to hermit and not do all that? I think the third house, it's really clear if you feel connected to your own community, and this could be online, but this could also be the community you live in, like your exact immediate surroundings. So it's really a time to expand your mind. Whenever ninth house placements are involved, like I said, spontaneous travel can come up, but also it could just be like feeling bigger, like there's something bigger for me out there, and communicating your needs and your belief systems and your ideas with clarity and conviction. So balancing that thirst for knowledge, taking classes and courses really good during this time. And remember, this started happening in October. So this is 18 months, these eclipses in these houses. So balancing that thirst for knowledge and that adventure for your daily responsibilities and connections, definitely good to navigate those dynamic energies during this eclipse cycle. Virgo rising, and this is also second house and eighth house eclipse placements. So there's definitely going to be themes of finances, values, intimacy, and big transformation happening. Now, second house, it really represents your personal resources, your values, and your self-worth, material possessions as well. While eighth house can pertain to shared resources, intimacy, psychological depth, transformation. It's really this like regenerating energy. energy. So these eclipses bring in significant changes regarding both your finances, that could be inheritance, financial literacy, investments, shared assets with others, but also simultaneously, you may experience shifts in your intimate relationships, or you might be going deeper into levels of emotional connection and addressing issues of trust, vulnerability, or maybe even just reassessing the relationship you have with yourself. You know, this is like a very interesting time where things are shedding, things are coming to light, and you're feeling this more emotional resonance. And again, when Libra's concerned, this could be themes of relationships, but it also could be themes of like your self-love and your self-worth when the second house is concerned. So really cultivating that healthy relationship with yourself, but also a healthy relationship with your money, your possessions. This isn't too hard to say to a Virgo rising, right? With these transits, there's definitely deeper layers to you than people know about. But I think it's that need, that balance for that financial security, and then your desire for emotional intimacy and depth that's really beautiful right now. So that personal growth in these times, remember this started in October of 2023, and it's that 18-month cycle where these eclipses are really bringing in these transformative energies. Alrighty, I hope that you learned a little bit and enjoyed the eclipse forecast horoscope. I put a lot of time and effort into these. Like, I want to make sure you feel so good and so aware, and you're like high vibrational, flipping through eclipse season, cartwheeling through them with ease. And that is my goal in life, is for always to you to be astrological backflipping, right? But just taking care of yourself in the best way that you can. And I truly thank you for listening and sharing with a friend, or sharing online, or writing a review. That always helps me. And again, if you are sparked with inspiration hearing about astrology and you want to know more and it's confusing to you, or you just want to like dive into the depths of your own psyche, your own birth chart, or even start giving readings to other people, making it a side business or hustle, highly recommend that. But I am offering that 35% discount until April 10th. I'm going to give you a little time after the eclipse portal to decide, because things might be energetically intense. But I did that because I love you and I would love for you to be a part of the community. And astrology has changed my life, and I feel like it's so important to know these things and to be able to look them up for yourself and not have to rely on other people. It's like, oh yeah, like I know about things happening like a year before, and I feel like hella powerful. but anyway, if you want, look down in the show notes. I'll give a link for that. But remember, the promo code is Portal, all caps, P-O-R-T-A-L. Thank you so much for being here. I truly love you, and sending you the most warm, cozy, fuzzy, energetic spirit fingers. I just watched Bring It On again. energetically happy, positive, transformational eclipse vibes. Love you. Bye-bye.